Hey, this is Life Coach David. Thanks for listening to the Law of Attraction podcast. I really appreciate it. And I also wanted to thank my clients that are listening, because I know several of my clients listen to the podcast. And I'm just so thankful that I get to be a positive influence on their life journey. It's very special. And you know, I kind of become friends with my clients in a way. Not so much social friends, but just because we get to know each other and I find out a lot about them and I'm helping them, and it's just nice to have that kind of connection. So I'm very appreciative of that, and I just wanted to express that. And I hope who's ever listening has been having a great year. I know it's been a while since I've done a podcast, but I've just been crazy busy, but I finally am excited to get back into it. And I've been reading from Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting. And I actually thought I was further in the book, but I listened to the end of the last podcast, and that was from December. I had actually thought I did another one since then, but I don't see it, so I must not have. So I am going to continue from where we left off from the last podcast. And I was just thinking about, it's very important what we think about and focus on, because that's what we're setting ourselves up to attract. So here's some food for thought for you. At the end of the day, to say to yourself, today was a great day, what would have to happen for you to make you say that? And think about at the end of a week, if you thought to yourself, wow, this was a really great week. So for that to happen, what would the recipe be, so to speak, for you to have a great week? Think about what that would be. And if someone said, how was the month? How was your month? And you thought back and you thought, wow, this was a great month. So what would that be? What would have to happen to make you say, wow, this was a great month? And to take it even further, at the end of a year, to think back on a whole year, what would make you say, wow, this past year was fantastic? Think about what would have to happen to make you say that. And the more you think about what would make you say this was a great day or a great week or a great month or a great year, then the more you're attracting those things to you. Remember, we have to think about what we want, not what is, but what we want, so that we attract what we want. So spend some time thinking about that, because I want you to attract what you want. I want you to have a great day, a great week, a great month, a great year. So think about that. And before I forget, if you want to have private coaching with me over the phone, you can contact me through lifecoachdavid.com or just email me, david@lifecoachdavid.com, and we can discuss why you may want coaching and take it from there. And now I'm going to continue with Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting. And this next section is called Yes, Yes, That, That, and That, also known as Step 2. Now that we've examined the cheerful information that living from don't wants is how we've created the vast majority of our lives, let's get to the business of understanding what wants really are and what on earth we do with them once we've uncovered them. Sounds stupid, doesn't it? Everybody knows what they want in life, right? Wrong. Wants are about the most frightening, misunderstood, neglected element in the entire human race. And I'd lay odds that, for most people, just thinking about them is more terrifying than a dentist chair without painkillers. But before we delve into the tantalizing realm of wants, it's important we understand what it is that gives us joy and passion to our lives and makes life worth living. Oddly enough, what gives us happiness is the very thing we think we would like to avoid: contrast, likes and dislikes, wants and don't wants. As strange as this topic may seem, without contrast, we would probably go insane. To better illustrate this bizarre concept, come fly with me on an imaginary journey over a fictitious town on a fictitious planet called Sameville. No thanks, Sameville. There it is, right below us. The area looks just like Earth, has the same terrain, the same shape, people, same everything. It all seems identical to Earth, except for one ghastly condition. Everything is gray. The landscape, the buildings, the cars, the animals, the bodies. It's all the same color, even the same shade. The people have no oomph to them because everything is the same. They have no challenges, no hurdles, no obstacles, no contrast. Notice the inertia of the people? It's boredom and it's overpowering. Little wonder no one has to make decisions in Sameville, for all decisions have the same outcome. No mate is different from the next. All jobs have the same level of stimulation. And have you seen enough? The scene looks about as close to hell as we'd want to get. Who'd want to live in such a place? What would be the point? Nothing to rise above, nothing to desire, no differences to appreciate, nothing to inspire enthusiasm, simply a place of incalculable boredom, which is precisely what we came here to planet Earth to avoid. We came in search of diversity and differences. We came, strangely enough, for the contrast. That's what our third-dimensional planet Earth offers, a cornucopia of alternatives and choices, a training ground to help us determine what kinds of things we don't like, so we can turn around and, thank you very much, create the kinds of things we do like. Like the man said, if the only ice cream ever made was vanilla, life would be pretty dull. But wait, I like vanilla. Anyway, never mind. So we have choices, lots and lots of choices, offering us not only the opportunities to live and enjoy whatever in this bountiful world we desire, but also to find out just how much torture and deprivation we're willing to put ourselves through before permitting those desires into our lives. Let's face it, we are unequaled wizards at identifying what displeases us, but not too hot at allowing ourselves to identify what we really, really do want so that we can magnetize those things into our lives for the sheer joy of having them. Life was meant to be, don't like that, do like that. Don't like that, do like that. Instead, it turned out to be, don't like that, but guess I'm stuck with it. Then we bitch and stew and fuss and gripe about all the stuff we're stuck with, which of course keeps us even more stuck right in the middle of where we don't want to be. So what do you want? Do you know? Do you dare to dream? Do you dare to desire? Do you dare to let your imagination, the most divine and mighty gift of the human race, run to the winds of fancy? What do you want? What do you dearly, truly want? And that's the end of that little section. And again, it's a great reminder. Are you really focusing on what you want? Or are you stuck more in the what is of what you don't want? And it's so important, even if what you don't want is what you're experiencing, you have to do your best to focus on what you do want so you attract it to yourself. All right, let's get to the next little section. The next section is called The Torture of Wanting. As we back gently into the rather startling awareness that everything in our experience has come from our focus and how we've been feeling, it's probably only natural we should think, well, wanting might be okay for others, but I'm not about to start daydreaming like that now. My life's all right. I've gotten by, so why should I open myself up to more disappointments at this point? We see all the things we would like to have but don't, all the places we would like to be but aren't, all the ladders we would like to have climbed but didn't. When very little has gone the way we would have deliberately chosen, we start wanting now. It's the old, the more I want, the less I get scenario, along with the other side of the same coin that says, sure, I have lots of desires and wants, but I don't ever expect to get them anyhow. Sad to say, we've been brainwashed into believing that most wants are not only self-serving, egotistical no-nos, but absurdly impossible. Do you remember when you were, say, in third or fourth grade? Not only were you old enough then to understand disappointment and how much it hurts, but you were already a seasoned veteran at knowing how to avoid those feelings. You found out early in life that the more you wanted something, the more you experience the heartache of not having it. You probably just stop wanting, unless, of course, you had an ironclad guarantee that your want would materialize. Even before that, as a toddler who relished exploring, you waddled over to the glimmering glass vase on the TV set and got screamed at. No, no, don't touch that, no. Not once, not hundreds of times, but some 60,000 times, says researchers, in a 3-year period, you were told, no, bad, you don't want that. By the time you reached your 4th birthday, you were thinking twice about wanting much of anything. Wanting equated to bad. Nor does it stop after toddler years. No to this, no to that, absolutely not to what seems like just about everything as you're growing up. By the time you get to high school, it's pretty tough to do much real wanting beyond what is socially acceptable, like getting your first car, going to the prom, or working your way through college. God forbid you should want to bum around the world until you think of something else better to do. God forbid you should want to become a millionaire by next year. Ridiculous! Get your head out of the clouds. So most of us just lay those passions aside as we trudged into dogmatic shoulds and have-dos of adulthood. We have seen the great truth which states, the more we want something outside of society's book of rules, the surer we seem to be of not getting it. We dream, but it never happens. We dream a little more, it doesn't come. Pretty soon we bow to the fictitious truth that dreaming of or wanting anything outside of the norm, and often even within the norm, is just not a fun thing to do. The more we want it, the worse we feel for not getting it. Finally, with the exception of the littlest dreams, the ones we know are prudent and obtainable, we stop dreaming altogether. And there we stay in the bleak sanctuary of Sameville, protected by the enormous belief that if we dream small and nothing happens, we won't be hurt big. Dear God in heaven, what a way we've chosen to live. And that's the end of that section. That's actually very sad to think that so many of us did go through that. But the good news is it can be turned around. So let's continue on and find out how. I mean, of course, I know, but I want to see what she says. So here, the next section says, breaking the want barrier. Crashing a lifetime of program deprivation can be a bit scary, primarily because it means changing. But crash it we must if we are to become creators by intent instead of creators by accident. And honestly, learning how to want productively and finding out that it's okay is not that big of a deal once we learn how to want instead of don't want. There are 3 basic kinds of wants, each with its own purpose in our dream file. The first one is real wants. First are the real wants that come from the don't wants. I don't want to go to my in-laws for the holidays. Instead, I want to blah, blah, blah. I don't want to live here anymore. Instead, I want to live blah, 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 blah. Those are the easiest. Just turn the page of a don't want, and there's your real want on the other side. Next are negative wants, the ones that have to be flipped over before you can step out of them. You can spot them by how you feel, since they never make you feel good until you get your intent refocused. I want to be well has a clear focus on the apparent fact that you're not. That's a negative want. I want to be rich presents the same difficulty. Both are coming from a place of lack that causes us discomfort by the very fact that we don't have what we're wanting. Negative wants are always don't wants and can be tough to spot unless you tune into your feelings. If you're overweight and want to be thin, and you say innocently enough, I want to be thin, that's a negative want and will never ever feel like a warm fuzzy. It's coming from longing or yearning or empty wishing, all negative energies. It's coming out of need, which is fear, not out of desire, which is excitement. Naturally, you wouldn't be wanting something if you had it, but if your only focus is on the fact that you don't have it, it will never come. It can't, for your focus is on the absence. If what you want and the way you are stating it is not making you feel good, it's negative wanting and needs to be flipped over to become positive intent and excited desire. Then there's rightful wants. Finally, the third kind of wanting I call rightful wants, for the simple reason that we have a right to our desires, no matter what our religions may say to the contrary, or our parents, or friends, or co-workers. We have a right, by virtue of our existence, to test our creative skills in any manner we choose. We have a right to displace any don't wants, in our lives with a want, at any time. And if it pleases us, it will probably also please others. If not, well then, so be it. With rightful wants, we finally come out of the closet of shoulds and gottas and go for living life, our own life. With rightful wants, we accept the very real fact that it's not only appropriate and proper, but critical for us to want anything, anywhere, of any kind, in any amount, in any shape, to any degree, at any time we desire. Anything. Anything on the face of this earth, if those things will take our lives off of hold, get us out of Sameville, and start us vibrating closer to the joy channel of our real selves. This is the only reason we have wants, to make us feel good when we have them. Yes, I know this all may sound callous, uncaring, and grossly self-serving, but please bear with me before jumping to conclusions, and you'll see how this outrageous approach to life will also profoundly benefit all who surround and depend on you. And that's the end of that little section. And think about, when you're saying you want something, are you saying it from a lackful place? Like she was saying, I want to be thin, I want more money. Because that really means I'm heavy, I don't have enough money. So it's very important how we think about what we want. So let's continue on and find out even more about how to turn that around. The next section is called Wanting the Necessity of Life. I say to you, okay, what do you want? And you say to me, oh, that's easy. I want enough money to pay my bills, take care of the kids, have a nice house to live in, a job I love, a loving partner to whom I share it all, and perfect health. I wouldn't mind a new car either. Well, that's a start, and a good one, but that's all it is, a start. Indeed, to most in this world, having all of those obviously wonderful things would seem like living in heaven. But if we are to unleash that power we call passion, where we can finally live closer to the frequency of our natural selves in profound joy, we've got to go beyond the obvious, way beyond. So what else? What else do you want? Yes, of course, wants change over the years. You've probably outgrown wanting a pony for your birthday, or a spiffy new hot rod to drag the mane on Saturday night. Yet still, there is within you an amazing inventory of long-forgotten fantasies. What are they? How long has it been since you dared to savor their tantalizing flavors, or partake of the exotic adventures in your daydreams? What are your smallest, your biggest, your oldest, your newest, your most deeply hidden desires, ambitions, aspirations? The ones that are so far out, so impossible, so unobtainable, that never have you so much as whispered them aloud to anyone, not even to God. What are they? What have you stopped allowing yourself to want? This planet is not Sameville. We came here for the contrast. We came here to learn how to manifest our desires. We came to learn discernment and to cultivate this strange art of wanting, which equates to manifesting. Instead, we got ourselves caught in the pointless skill of diligently collecting don't wants. We came to learn how to create our desires, fulfill our dreams, prosper, and take this exquisite experience called being physical to its zenith. We came to experience the good with the bad, that we might learn how to choose likes over dislikes. So have them. Take your treasure dreams out of the crowded old closet, dust them off with loving care, and give each one a long, hard look. Forget that they're too far out. Forget that they're hopeless or too unthinkable. Forget that someone will think you've lost it. Forget that you might be called selfish. Forget those things. Wanting is not only your right, it's an absolute prerequisite for a happy life. And that's the end of that section. And isn't that wonderful? It's so inspiring. Like, think about all those things you may have wanted and dreamed about and just thought, oh, I can't have that. I can't do that. But you can. We can do those things. Even some of those things. So just feel how good that feels to say, you know what? I'm going to say yes to some of those things I've always wanted to do. That's so exciting and such a positive way to live and to view things. So let's carry on to the next section so we can even find out more how to manifest what we want. And the next section is called, Oh Yes, You Do Deserve It. Now here's the big news. You don't have to be worthy of a blasted thing to have your desires. You don't have to prove or witness or demonstrate or pass a moral test. You don't have to explain your reasons or make excuses to your family, to yourself, or to God. You don't have to be any more worthy or deserving or trustworthy or upstanding than you are now. You only have to make one decision, just one, and that is to be happy. But you will never start down that road until you allow your wants, your dreams, your desires, your hankerings to come out of the closet, not just peek around the corner of a cracked open door, but come out all the way. Like any hidden talent that you've either consciously or unconsciously known was there, but didn't feel comfortable bringing out, once you accept the fact that wanting is part of you, and that doing it is really okay, it becomes fun. Joy starts to flow. You begin to vibrate differently. For when you are in joy with life, you cannot vibrate negatively, and you cannot attract negativity, only positively. When you are in joy with life, you cannot feel insecure, ashamed, unworthy, unsafe, guilty, or inferior in any manner, because you aren't vibrating there. You cannot feel lack of any kind, nor can you attract it. The only thing you will do as you begin to unlock your wants is vibrate more joy, more abundance, and more freedom into your experience. Small price to pay for dreaming, wouldn't you say? And it makes no difference what you choose to dream. Choose your dream because it makes you happy, and you'll vibrate it into your life. Dream the dream of joy. Dream the dream of fulfillment. Dream the dream of frivolity. Whatever it is, just dream. Having desires, wantings, is no more a sin than breathing. Never again think you have to justify your wants. Just don't. You cannot be justifying, defending, or rationalizing, which is all negative flowing, and remain connected to your core energy. You need make no excuses to anything, anybody, or any higher or lower authority for your desires. Certainly not to God. To do so is to turn your back on your own higher energy, thus denying your very existence, your divine right to life. Contrary to common teachings, gaining happiness is your hallowed right of birth. So let yourself go and dream. You're already creating your life every moment of every day by how you think and vibrate. You might as well create it the way you'd like it to be. And that's the end of that section. And all I can say about that is yes, yes, and yes. And the next little section is called, You Still Have Them. One of the best ways to uncover some of those long hidden wants is to pretend. Remember, all that's required for you to have it, whatever it might be, is wanting it and feeling it without explanation, excuse, apology, or reason. The challenge now is to peel the onion down far enough to get past the rigid layers of shoulds, shouldn'ts, and no-nos to the long-forgotten thrill of and passion for life. Pretend it's Christmas time. This isn't religious, so humor me, no matter what faith you are. You're the Santa Claus at the mall, replete with scratchy beard and pillowy tummy. You're listening to all the wee folk rattle off their long lists of socially acceptable wants, but after a while you decide to spread around some magic dust so the kids of any age will feel the urge to reveal some of their less socially acceptable wants. Up comes a little cutie pie about six who hops up onto your knee. She starts to give you her list, a few special toys like you see on TV, and a couple of the old standbys like a doll or a puppy. That's it, nothing new. So you spread your magic dust and out it comes, a big swing in the backyard. A daddy to be around more, a mommy who will take time to play, someone, anyone who will believe about the pretty angels in the bedroom, and somebody to always make everything all right. Oh, and lots of brothers and sisters, please. Then she jumps down, happy as a lark. Do you remember what your secret wants were at 6 years of age? Next, a tall, gangly 18-year-old comes up, having fun with the experience and quite willing to go along with the gag. All right now, what would you like Santa to bring you? Once again, even though the teenager is gladly entering into the spirit of this silliness, the list is alarmingly short. They say, well, I'll take that new car you've got hidden in your sack, Santa, and I wouldn't mind a few $1,000 in my stocking for play money. And if you just happen to have a hot romance back there in your sleigh, hey, that would be cool. So you sprinkle your magic. The 18-year-old relaxes and out comes an amazing list of rightful wants having to do with careers and friends and success and fame and clothes and living conditions and family and yachts and genuine happiness. Whatever that is, he mumbles. Do you remember what your secret wants were at 18 years of age and what dreams got stuffed away so that you could live in the real world? Finally comes the adult, gleefully hopping up on your Santa Claus knee as the kids watch and snicker. And what would you like, my friend? You ask expectantly. You're dismayed to find that this person has the shortest list of anyone so far, as though every hope and dream ever owned just flew to the next galaxy. Oh, there's the new house, and the new car, and a flippin' crack about winning the lottery, but that's it. Quickly you sprinkle your magic dust, and nothing. You sprinkle more, still nothing. You even empty your bag. Slowly at first, as if having to be pulled up from the deepest, darkest depths of the ocean, comes a comment about having a pie shop, and another about learning to play the piano. A pause, and then another about taking a horticultural course at the local college, and another about building a unique kind of sailboat. This one's on a roll now. There's another about being able to financially help a friend open a dance school. And another about having an automatic garage door. And another about living in an elegant home overlooking the aqua blue waters of a Caribbean island. There's no stopping now. Another deep desire pours out about being able to talk with a partner about daydreams. And another about opening a summer camp for city kids and feeling safe in earthquake country, and something about having the confidence to talk in front of a group of people. There's one about improving relations with certain family members and learning how to be more loving, and on and on and on. It took a full bag, but the dam holding back those long-forgotten treasures finally broke. What dreams have you put aside? Your ambitions, your forgotten goals, even your littlest desires. What are they? And that ends that little section. And there's a lot to think about with that. You know, take some time and think about, is there anything that you really wanted to do that you tucked away and thought maybe you'd do it at a future time, or something you wanted that you didn't know how you were going to get it, so you kind of stuffed it away and thought, maybe another time I'll think about that. So start thinking about those things. Start thinking about those things and start realizing they're worth bringing back to current day, because maybe that's something that you still want to do. And that's the end of this particular podcast. And there was some great information in there, so maybe re-listen to it again, answer some of the questions, practice thinking about what you want, in a way that you're going to really focus on what you want, not on the lack of it. And again, if you need help doing any of this, if you need help manifesting what you want, if you need help feeling happier, or maybe you're going through a hard time and want to get through it in the best way possible, please contact me for coaching. And my coaching is done over the phone, so it doesn't matter where you live. And you can contact me through lifecoachdavid.com or even just email me, david@lifecoachdavid.com. And I really appreciate you listening. And as I always like to say, choose to have a high vibration day.